this morning is accepted. Accepted. Now, beloved, these four simple words, accepted in the beloved, reveal the whole doctrine of salvation by God's grace. They contain, I believe, the very essence of the gospel of substitution. These four words, accepted in the beloved. Now, the whole of our salvation, God's people, and the whole of our acceptance with God is in Christ, who is our surety, our substitute, and our representative. And those who clearly understand this great fundamental truth of the gospel will not greatly err in any other points of doctrine. Those who cannot lay hold, those who cannot apprehend this matter of the believer's acceptance with God, cannot and will not see any other divine truth clearly, will not be able to do so. Our being in Christ is entirely the work of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. We've been placed in the Lord Jesus Christ by a sovereign decree of Almighty God. Now, 1,000 sermons would never exhaust the theme of the union of the people of God with Jesus Christ, their head. 1,000 sermons, you could not exhaust this theme, accepted in Christ. No theology is sound which does not recognize this doctrine that we are accepted as the people of God, believers are accepted upon the merits of another and in the person of another, that being the person of the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. No experience can be very profound which does not lead the soul more clearly and more fully to rejoice in this glorious and precious truth that's revealed here today in the last part of verse 6 of Ephesians 1, this chapter, which is a chapter of matchless praise unto our God. Now, accepted, those who feed, Spurgeon said this, and I thought it was good, those who feed upon this God-honoring, this soul-comforting truth will be found, like Daniel and his companions, to be fair in countenance and fatter in soul than any others. So may this morning the Lord be pleased to feed our souls on this precious and great truth, that we might be fair in countenance and fatter in soul when we leave this place this morning. Now, beloved, it's a very sad fact, and I think you'll be able to sympathize with this, because many of us have been victims of the same sad tragedy. The fact is this: not many of the professing family of God have a personal and experiential, a daily realized assurance that they're loved of God and that they are accepted of God. Now, this is true of many of us here today, I'm sure. I'm sure of this. And that daily, weekly, when you have time just to reflect, when you really think about it, could you say that you have a consistent, regular, personal, and experiential sense of the love and the acceptance of God? Could you say that? Could you say, yes, that is my experience? Well, my friend, I don't believe that very many of the people of God could give that as a personal testimony and it be absolutely correct and true. Now, this is very sad. This is something I'm sure that all of us struggle with, and I'm sure to a greater and lesser degree, from time to time, we find ourselves in battle right here. Am I truly loved of God? Am I accepted of God? Is it true? I mean, is it a real, blessed, holy fact that I have been loved of God from old eternity, and that I am accepted right now of God. Now, are you surprised at what I'm saying here? Surely you're not. Surely you're not. Are you shocked at what I'm saying here, what I'm suggesting to you this morning? Is this the truth? Beloved, it's the truth if I ever told it, that there's not many of the people of God who are living with a conscious, experiential assurance of the love of God and the acceptance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ in their daily experience. Now, I know that we don't want to admit the truth in particular about ourselves. We don't want to say, well, preacher, this is true. I'll raise my hand. I have to admit that it's true about me. And it's simply because somehow or other we believe that it's going to bring us down in the esteem of others if we admit the truth about ourselves. That we're in battle right here, that we're struggling right here. We just simply do not have the assurance that God loves us and that He has accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's put away this concern that we have about how others are going to feel about us if we admit the truth, and let us this morning, if we can, examine ourselves at this very point. At this very point, do I daily, consciously, experientially live my life with the sense that I'm loved and accepted of God? Now, God truly loves those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the beloved. God truly loves them because Christ is the one in whom the Father, and the Greek word here for beloved, this word beloved, now in the King James it's not capitalized, but I capitalized it in my Bible because this is talking about a person. It's talking about a person. The beloved is Jesus Christ. And what the word really means is that Christ is the one that the Father has channeled. He's the one that is the receptacle that the Father has funneled, if you please, His best, His great, His rich love into. God's love, my friend, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, God didn't have anybody to love until He made Adam in the Garden of Eden. My friend, that's not true. God loved His Son, the Son of His love. Jesus Christ was loved from eternity and was chosen to be the servant of God. He was elected, and we were elected and chosen in Him, but He was elected first. And He is the Son of God's love, and all God's love is in Him. And when men and women are put into Him, then, my friend, they are truly loved of God. Listen to what the Scripture says, John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. John 17, 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Beloved, the very same love that God has toward His Son is the love that He has toward those that are in His Son. And the very acceptance that Jesus Christ has received at the right hand of the Father is the acceptance that you and I have in Him. We're accepted as He is accepted. We're as near to God as He is as He is near to God. We're near to God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves and accepts His people. And beloved, that is a fact. And we ought to enjoy this fact. We ought to truly experience it. We ought to be stronger because of it. And we ought to be joyful because of it. And we ought to be more useful. And I'm sure that we will be whenever this fact comes home to our heart, that we are loved and accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not many of us, as we said, live in the light of this truth that I've just stated. Now, if you don't, this is a glorious gospel truth. And it may be, as some say, that this truth is for advanced believers. But personally, I believe that all of those who are in Christ Jesus, they ought to be told about their position, and they ought to be made aware of their privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, I think this morning that I would do you a disservice if I didn't preach this message to you. I know about these struggles because this is something that I struggled with for years. And I believe this morning that God would have me to bring these thoughts to you in order that your soul would be edified and strengthened and that you might receive some help this morning in your heart. Well, why is it so? And I think this morning that if you are here and you say, I am living, preacher, with this consciousness, this assurance, experientially, I'm living with it, and I am happy, and I do rejoice in the Lord, and I am glad in the Lord, and this truth of God has made me strong in my soul. Well, you're an exception. You're an exception. Now listen, why is this so that so few live up to their privilege? If a man is in honor, the Bible says, and he understands it not, then he's like the beast that perisheth. May God open your eyes this morning as we try to deal with this subject. Why is it so that so many of the professing people of God do not feel accepted? They do not feel loved of God. Well, I suppose that there's many reasons, but I believe they can be reduced down to just a few. And one of the reasons is that all of us seem to bring baggage out of our past lives and past experiences over into our Christian lives. Now, if we have ever known what it is to doubt the love of a parent or to question the love of a father or mother, or if we've ever experienced a traumatic rejection from someone who has been very dear to us and very important in our lives, inevitably we bring that sense of rejection and not being loved over to our Christian lives, and we say to ourselves, they felt that way about us, and so God probably does too. We were rejected by mama or papa. We were rejected by this lover or that lover. And so probably God feels the same way toward me as men and women have felt toward me. Well, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. God has said that we are loved in his son. This is a statement of Holy Scripture, and it's an absolute true statement. And so, beloved, do not think as you think upon God that he is like your friends or like your parents or like somebody that you've known in your human experience. Do not look upon God as being that way. God is not a man. Now, another reason, and I think the real reason really is that we have trouble here, is that we are constantly muddying up the waters of the gospel with a legal perception of the gospel. Now, we just keep telling ourselves the same thing over and over again. And this is what we tell ourselves. Now, we tell ourselves, now, when we have no assurance of God's love toward us, no assurance that we're accepted in the Beloved, we keep telling ourselves over and over again, I have believed, I have repented, I try to do as I ought to do, but there are still many, many things that are wrong with me, that are wrong in my Christian life. And if I don't get myself straightened out, if I don't take care of my problems, if I don't get some things out of my life that's in my life, then God will not, God cannot love me, God cannot accept me. Now, this is what we keep telling ourselves over and over and over again. And my friend, what we're doing is perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ when we tell ourselves these things. And this morning, as I say this, am I knocking on your door? Are you home? Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Have you told yourself that over and over again? I don't feel like God loves me. I don't feel like I'm accepted of God. And the reason is to be found with me. No, according to the Word of God, we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. That God accepts us because of the merits of another, the merits of his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is this reality, or have I falsely concluded something here that's not true? Are we doing this or not? Are we perverting the gospel or are we not? I say to you this morning that we are. This is a very common and chronic problem that God's people have. We can have a clear understanding of the gospel on Sunday morning, and then all week long think legalistically. And that's exactly what we do. And we muddy up the waters of the gospel because we keep entertaining the thought that somehow or other that God's going to accept us, think more of us, favor us more highly if we can just get these little things, all these big things straightened out in our lives. And there isn't an ounce of truth in it. Listen to me. Hear me. Paul would say to you this morning, you are accepted. He would say, you are accepted this morning. This is exactly what he's saying. Now, have you ever just sat down and meditated on what Paul is telling us here, that we're accepted in the beloved? Well, most people have never considered it. They've never considered it. Now, then, this clear statement of Scripture, this is something, and this is the problem. People do not meditate. They do not pray over. They do not think over the Word of God. And, beloved, we must get the clear statements of Scripture into our spiritual system. And we must meditate upon the Word of God until we get these truths affixed in our hearts and until they become a part of us. Now, beloved, this is so important. Notice, if you will, I want you to hear me this morning. You and I, by nature, as we stand this morning by our own action, you and I, as we stand naturally from the womb and by our own choices, are not accepted, nor are we acceptable to God. Now, do you understand that? That's in a state of nature. We are not accepted, and we are not acceptable unto God. We do not come into this world acceptable, my friend. We come into this world sinners. We come into this world enemies of God, rebels against God, unholy, uncaring rebels that are under the wrath of God. That's how we come and make our entrance into this world. And nobody comes into this world ready to make their exit out of this world, because we all come in speaking lies from a mother's womb. We all come into this world sinners, and we all are deserving of the wrath of God. Now, one of the most difficult things in the world for a preacher to do is to get a lost man to believe that God has rejected him, and to get a saved man to believe that God has accepted him. This is a tremendously difficult thing to do. I mean, you can preach to men and women and you can tell them that God has rejected them because of their state of nature, because of their sin and rebellion, because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, and because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they won't believe it. They won't believe it. They'll not accept that. Somehow or other, they believe that God surely is going to take account of their works and their goodness and what they've done and the things they haven't done. Surely God will figure it all up one of these days and I'll be accepted of him. My friend, it's not so. You're under the wrath of God, and you shall spend eternity in that place where the worm dies not, and the smoke of men's torment ascendeth up forever and ever, where there's no rest neither day or night. That's where you're going, because you're not acceptable to God. You're a sinner in rebellion and sin. But those that have been regenerated by God's Spirit, those in whom the Lord Jesus Christ has been formed, those in whom he lives, they ought to receive this truth that they are loved and they're accepted of God. But it's mighty hard to get them to believe it. They just simply can't believe it about themselves. And when you're preaching to lost men, the sheep of Christ, they say, oh, I think he's talking about me. I think he's talking about me. This is my condition. I don't feel loved. I don't feel accepted. I don't feel like I belong. My friend, listen to me and hear me this morning. If you're here and you are saved, if you're a child of God, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been accepted. And the only thing I believe we can do, although it's difficult to deal with, is just keep on preaching the truth of God and to the hearts of men, and trust God to undertake. Because unless he does some internal work in your heart and in the hearts of others, of men and women, there's no hope at all. Nothing I can do will ever make any difference unless God is pleased to do a work in your heart and convince you that you're unacceptable to God if you're lost outside of Jesus Christ. and teach your heart and tutor you if you are in Christ, and help you to rejoice in this glorious truth. You are loved and you are accepted. Now then, God has accepted us over against the fact that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, and that He's angry with the wicked every day. He has accepted us and loved us over against the truth of John 3:36, where it says, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The declaration of the gospel is this: that God in Jesus Christ accepts all those who believe savingly on His Son, the Beloved. God accepts them all. And if you believe on Him and trust Him, then God has accepted you. Now this is the good news today for you, my friend. God has accepted you, believer, on the merits of another, on the merits of His own Son, the God-man Jesus Christ. God has accepted you, hear me now, despite the worst that remains in you, God has accepted you. Now this is part of the problem we just talked about a little bit. We know that we're still sinners. Daily experience teaches us that. We're often heard crying out with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And do you know this morning what I'm talking about? If you're a child of God, you do, because I'm talking about Christian experience. All of God's true, tested, and tried family, they know what it is to cry out, "O wretched man that I am." They know what it is to experience failings and to have difficulties and trials and adversities in their life. They know what it is to have upheavals and to be cast down, and one day to be up, the next day down. They know what this is. This is Christian experience. God's people have all kinds of problems. John Bunyan said, "We're born into this world as sparks fly upward." That's the scripture. And he says, then we're born into double trouble. We're converted. And then we have all kinds of trouble because of the new life, the principle of life that is within us, and the struggles that are in the world. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But beloved, we're not to give up here. We're not to give up and say, "I got all of this going on, and I know I'm a sinner still, and I know things are not as I desire for them to be." We're not. We're to go back to the gospel. Just like Paul did there in Romans 7:25. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord." There is victory in Christ. We have been accepted in Him. Go back to the gospel and to the gospel of God's truth, that we are accepted in the Beloved. He has accepted me in spite of the worst there is about me. Now, I can tell you, and I know for a fact, that this is true. Now you listen to what I'm telling you, that the people of God are a messed up bunch of people. Now when I'm talking about Him accepting us in spite of the worst there is about us, and I've said we are sinners, daily experience teaches us that, we feel the weight and the burden of the old body of sin, and I've said that, but beloved, I want to impress this upon you, that we're a messed up bunch of people, all kinds of problems. God's people are not exempt from the problems that other people have in the world. And we have all kinds of problems there. Now listen, I know I've talked to many of God's people. And beloved, there's few exceptions to this rule I'm talking about. When you put aside the facade that we wear to church, when you put aside the veneer and you find someone who is willing to talk to you, somebody who's willing to try to help you a little bit, often we confess what kind of a mess we got on our hands. What kind of problems that we really have in our life. How things really are with us. And beloved, listen, our depravity, it is bad. And then not only that, but things just go wrong in our lives, don't they? They just go wrong in our lives. That which God has made crooked, no man can make straight. And in the providence of God, there are many things that just simply that are right to Him, because things that seem most wrong are right if it be His sweet will, but it seems wrong to us, and we feel it, that it's just not right. Now listen to me. We think that if we live right, we've been taught this, we got it someplace, that if we live right, if we do right, that we'll never be sick a day in our lives, because if we get sick, somebody will come right along and heal us, that our children will all grow up to be model children, and that everything's going to go well in our families, and the business is always going to do well. We just somehow or other got that impression that if we do right, if we live right, that this is going to be the outcome, that the crops will all... But my friends, it's not so. It's not so. It's not so. Listen to me this morning. It's when we have losses and crosses, and when we have moral failings that we have to face. It is when try as I have, pray as I have, and still things have not turned out like I wanted to. Still my children do not turn out like I would like. They're still not model children. And we must get rid of this, I think, this unbiblical idea that if we just do it right, then everything is going to be all right. It's going to be just like we want it and like everybody else thinks it ought to be. My friend, this is an unscriptural expectation. Nowhere in the Bible is this promise. Because I tell you, what God makes crooked, no man can make straight. Well, it is then, it's when all of these things are happening. You know, the Bible talks about how that we're more than conquerors through all list of things there in the book of Romans. More than conquerors. But it's not as we go around these things, over the top of these things, under these things. It's as we go through these things that we're more than conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is as we must believe this declaration. It's then that we must believe this declaration of Scripture that we're accepted in the Beloved, that He's accepted us no matter what the worst is about you and I. That He has accepted us on the merits and the basis of another. And He has accepted you with no regard. No regard. Listen to me now. This is important. Because just as I said that He accepts us regardless, no matter what the worst is about us, He has also accepted us with no regard for the best there is about you. The best there is about you. Now you say, preacher, you're putting me out of business now. You're just putting me completely out of business. I'm going to have to go out of here praising His grace. And some people, that grates on some people. They just don't like that. They'd like God to forget about the worst in them and take some account of the best that's in them. But I'll tell you what, in regards to God loving us and accepting us, He does not do it on the basis of your worst or your best. Got nothing to do with it whatsoever. This is the other side of the coin. We think that if we don't smoke and if we don't drink and if we don't chew and spit on the sidewalk and if we just give a little bit of money and don't fool around and go to church once a week, then surely God has to accept me. He must, because I'm religious, because I go to church, because. No, my friend, you don't understand the gospel at all if you believe that. That's got nothing to do with God accepting a man, a soul. It's got nothing to do with it. God accepts me. Somebody said, preacher, and I want you to hear me. I've heard it. I've had them tell me. God accepts me, preacher, because I am an obedient Christian. No, my friend. No, that's not true. God loves and accepts you because of the Beloved. That one who never had a thought went through his brain except it was a righteous and holy thought. God accepts you in Christ who never broke the law, not one time. He accepts you in that one who is perfect, that one who is without sin. And you're accepted only in Him. And when you stand before God, nothing else is going to account except your relationship to Him. Are you in Him? Do you stand in Him? Now this is very important that we understand this. His blessings toward us are of pure grace. Pure grace. Wasn't that what He said? To the praise of the glory of His grace. wherein he hath accepted us in the beloved. Now, he approves of a heart that loves him, a heart of love toward him, a motive of love toward him, but his blessings are blessings that are and come and spring from pure grace. Now, we all struggle with this, but my friend, will we ever really understand the gospel? Pray that God will enable you to understand the gospel. Now, there was an old gentleman that lived in the north of Scotland, and there was a time of great famine, a time of great famine, and the potatoes were about all gone, and that's all they had left in the house was just a few little nubby potatoes. You know, when you use potatoes, you get the best ones out of the sack first and keep leaving the little ones and the little ones. Well, all they had left was just a few nubby potatoes. And so he was an old road worker, and his name was John. And so he called a friend and said, from next door, said, come over. We're going to boil the last potatoes we have, and we're going to have a feast. And so the friend came over. They got all these little nubby potatoes out, and they boiled them, and they put them on the plate. And the friend looked at the potatoes, and he said, John, he said, these are indeed nubby potatoes. And John said, it's true. He said, it's true. They're nubby potatoes. But he says, I see upon every one of those potatoes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he mean by that? What he meant by that was this, that every blessing that a child of God enjoys and has in this world was bought at Calvary by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, to know, the wonder to know, the beauty to know, the glory to know, the joy to know that despite the worst about us and with no regard for the best there is about us, God has accepted us for Christ's sake. That is marvelous, my friend. Accepted in the beloved, accepted in a person. All of God's gracious dealings with sinners are in and through Jesus Christ. You must never think of God's blessing apart from Jesus Christ. Every time you experience anything that just makes you stop and think this came from the hand of God, never think about a blessing unless you think about Christ. Because it was his blood that bought it. You wouldn't have it. God wouldn't give you. Listen, my friend, you would starve to death. He'd never bless you with common grace. You would never be able to drink his water and eat his food and wear his clothes and breathe his air if it was not for Christ. This world stands to this day because of God's eternal purpose in his Son, that he's redeemed the people and he'll have them all. That's the only reason why it's here. You got some idea that this thing's running here for you. It's not running for you. It's running for God. He created all things. All things are for his pleasure, and they're all created by him to further and to accomplish the purpose, that eternal purpose which he purposed in his Son, Christ Jesus. Well, I glory in this truth that Jesus Christ bought every blessing I ever had, even the nubby potatoes that I've eaten. I glory in that. I revel in that, and we all should. Well, just to kind of wind this all up, what can we do to get ourselves online? What can we do to get ourselves straightened out? And where we can live with an experiential consciousness of assurance that we're loved of God and have it work so in us that we feel our acceptance with God? Well, how can we do it? Well, I think we have to talk to ourselves a little bit. My father used to tell me that it was all right to talk to yourself as long as you didn't answer yourself. You could ask yourself questions and so on, but I've done a little bit of both in my time. I talk to myself a little bit. And I believe that children of God must. David, if you'll read the Psalms, you'll see where he talked to himself. He said, my soul, why art thou so cast down? He talked to himself. And I think you and I have to do the same. There's some There's some things that we have to say to ourselves. Number one, let me just give you a few of these and then we'll close. I'm not going to keep you long. Number one, I think we have to say that God, we have to say to ourselves, oh soul, God has loved you. He has loved you from all eternity, and He's loved you from all eternity by name. By name. In other words, God wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Before man was ever put in the Garden of Eden, God had already penned the names of His people in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, my friend, it's not enough for you to say, well, I believe that. Well, I believe that. No, my friend, it's got to be more than that. This must become the very blood that flows through our spirit, that God loved us from all eternity, and that He loved us by name from all eternity. Number two, talk to ourselves a little more and tell our souls that God has proved the greatness and the reality of His love toward us through Jesus Christ, that He's proved that. Just think a little bit and talk to yourself a little bit how that God has proved His love. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not also through Him freely give us all things? Now, I have seen my children off a few times. It always grieves my heart to have to tell my children goodbye and send them away. But there came a day when the Ancient of Days, God Almighty Himself, said to His only begotten Son, the Son of His love, He said, Son, He said, you go forth into the world. You go forth there to accomplish the work that I have given you to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven to come down here to this world to accomplish the work of redemption, to save His people from their sins. And God the Father watched Him. He watched Him as He was being formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He watched Him when He was born in the stable. He watched Him as He lived out His life and was growing in stature and in wisdom. He watched Him as He worked in the carpenter shop. He watched Him as He was in the ministry. He watched Him when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He watched Him when He was nailed to the gory tree outside the city of Jerusalem. I want you to know this morning, that God Almighty has proved, He has proved His love for us. He sent His only begotten Son, and would He give His best for us and then withhold the lesser blessings? No, my friend. God loves His people and He accepts His people, and every blessing that has been promised by Almighty God to His people will be made good, because the everlasting and eternal covenant seals that forever to the souls of God's people. Now then, thirdly, God loves me for the long haul. I should tell myself that. That God didn't get into this thing with me just for the short haul. You know, we recognize that men and women are just that. Men at the best are only the best men. And we know that there are many examples in the world where people don't get into things for the long haul. They just don't. They just can't stick with it. And it don't work out. And they don't. But listen, God didn't get into this business of salvation with you and going to reject you down the road someplace. No, He's in it for the long haul. Now, brother, whatever's necessary, God's going to see you through. Now, having loved His own when He was in the world, John 13:1 says, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the very end. And you and I have made some serious mistakes in this life, but God loves us still, and we need to tell us that. God's in this thing. I'm not shut up to my choice of God. I'm shut up to His choice of me, and we're in this thing for the long haul, and it's not going to ever vary or change. Number four, I'm telling you how to talk to yourself. This is the way. God loves me God's love for me will bring me through every danger, every toil, every snare, and will cause all of these dangers, toils, and snares to everyone work out for my good and for His glory. Now, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to believe it. It's one thing to say that when you haven't had any when you've had very few dangers, toils, and snares, and it's a whole lot more to say it when you've had some that's almost tripped you up, almost put you in the ditch. And I'll tell you this, God's love will bring you through every danger, toil, and snare. Never leave you. Never leave you. God will continue to love you, and He'll make everything work out for your good and His glory. You can't figure it out, but He's got it. He's got it down, and He's working it out. God loves His people as much as He ever did, and nothing can ever alter or change His love for His people. His love, no variations, no. No, no variations. Now, number five. God loves me enough to want to bring me to glory. I am accepted and expected in glory. I'm going to be there. Now, He wants me there. And the reason He wants me there is because I'm an object of His love. It's because I'm in Christ and I'm loved by God just like Christ is loved by God. And the head will not be in heaven. That head won't be in heaven, Jesus Christ, and the body left here in the world. No, the Lord is going to have His people, and He loves us enough, and we need to tell ourselves that we are accepted and expected to be in glory. Now, we don't believe any of this, really, do we? Do we really? Do we really believe this? If we really believe it, we can talk to ourselves about it, and it will help us to realize our love and acceptance in the Lord. My friend, it is because of this unconditional love that we have significance, that we have meaning, and that we have security, and have this sense of belonging. You won't find it in your job. You won't find it in your relationships, your human relationships. You won't find it in your friends, even in your Christian friends. You won't find it in your wife. You won't find it in your husband. You won't find it in your children. And when you look for it, you'll always be disappointed if you look anywhere else for unconditional love and acceptance anywhere except from the Lord. You'll be disappointed because you're not going to find it except in Him. Our acceptance is in the Beloved, and it's not anywhere else to be found. It is in this, my friend. This is where we find it. Heaven and earth may pass away, but while God and I shall be, I'm His and He is mine. This is what it's all about. We're accepted in the Beloved. The poet said, Lord Jesus, we are one with Thee. O height, O depth of love, with Thee we died upon the tree, in Thee we live above. O teach us, Lord, to know and to own this wondrous mystery, that Thou with us art truly one, and we are one with Thee. May the Lord be pleased to own this morning this message and bless you with it, help you with it in your struggles, and just deal with your problems and deal with your situation on the basis of these things that we've given you here. And I believe that God will give you a conscious assurance of your love, of His love toward you, and your acceptance in the Beloved. May God bless you. Mike, could we